The NHS, oh sorry, thank you NHS, was a social phenomenon during the pandemic, wasn't it? Because we wanted to express our thanks to those who worked tirelessly and put themselves at risk from infection. Handmade posters went up in people's windows, and companies had banners printed saying, thank you, NHS. And this was accompanied by our clap for carers, wasn't it? How many of us on a Thursday evening at 8 o'clock went outside or leaned out of our windows and clapped or banged a saucepan or made some other noise in appreciation? 3 years ago, we really appreciated our NHS. But 3 years on, I wonder, if we're honest, how we're doing. Maybe we'll say thank you to the paramedic who comes and attends an emergency, or we might say thank you to the person treating us in hospital, or the GP that spent some time with us. But I wonder how we view the organisation as a whole. Do we hold the NHS favourably in our hearts and minds, or is it easier to take our health service either for granted or even grumble and complain about it? Jesus tells a story about being grateful, and we find it in one of the biographies of Jesus's life, put together by a man called Luke, and Judith is going to come and read that story to us.
The reading is from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19, and it's on page 1052 of the Church Bible.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one has returned to give praise to God except this foreigner." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, we're going to use a little bit of imagination when we look at this story. We're going to try and put ourselves in the shoes of the 9 lepers who didn't come back. Because you see, leprosy, or Hansen's disease as it's now known as, is a chronic infectious bacterial disease. Amongst other things, it affects the skin, the nerves, the respiratory tract, and the eyes. And nowadays, it's a curable disease. And if it's caught really early, it doesn't even need to cause disability. But in Bible times, if you got leprosy, you expected a long, slow, and horrible death. Death by inches, as one person put it. Because it might take 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years for the inevitable to happen. And while you were waiting, you went through horrible stages of the disease, which might include becoming horribly disfigured, or experience mental decay, or breathing problems, and people would quite typically go into a coma before finally dying. And lepers lived in communities away from their friends and their families because it was really contagious. And they would ring a bell to warn people of their presence, crying out, "unclean." And if this social stigma wasn't enough, the disease had a spiritual stigma attached to it as well, because it was seen in religious circles to be a punishment for sin and a divine curse from God. And that's why the priest got to decide when and if a leper was clean. So given that, given how awful leprosy was, why did only one come back? Why on earth didn't the other nine? So we're going to imagine this morning their stories, and we're going to think about maybe some of the reasons why those nine didn't come back. So Bill's mum contracted leprosy when Bill was only 10. He and his sister sobbed when mum left. And as Bill hugged his mum goodbye, he promised to look after his little sister. And mum gently pushed him away. And when the ulcerating and smelly telltale bumps started to come up on Bill's face, that promise that he'd made to his mum played on his mind. Who was going to look after his little sister now? And when Jesus healed him, and the smell of his rotting flesh lifted, and he could smell ripening figs nearby, he gathered up the ripest of the figs, and along with his certificate of health that had been pressed into his nice, now clean and healed hands, he rushed off to find the little girl he'd not been able to support. The anticipation of what it would feel like to be reunited with his sister pushed out any thought of going back to say thank you. And I wonder whether any of us have ever forgotten to say thank you because we get so focused on the next thing, we forget to say thank you for what has just happened. I wonder whether we are too future focused to appreciate the moment. Ron, he'd been a really quiet man all through his life and even before he got sick. And he'd been sick for a really long time. He wasn't a talker. He never felt that he'd got the right words. And if truth be told, he was a bit relieved when he got ill, because as his vocal cords became ulcerated and his voice became hoarse and his breathing became wheezy, his deterioration gave him an excuse not to talk to anybody. He only interacted when he absolutely had to. But having been ill for a long time and having not expressed his feelings probably ever really, and certainly not in a long time, he accepted the certificate of health from the priest. He acknowledged it silently with a slight nod and then just carried on. He wouldn't have known how to say thank you to Jesus. He could never have found the word, so he took his gift and he quietly left. And some of us might struggle to know how to say thank you, how to put our thank you either into words or into some other gesture that would show how we appreciate someone. And so, fearing that everything might come out wrong, we choose the safer route and we say or we do nothing. Now, Justin came from a completely, I have to just say at this point, if I'm using your name, my apologies, no intention, and this is not a character testimony about you. So Justin came from a completely chaotic family, no structure and no routine. As an adult, Justin found finding and keeping work really difficult. He'd do a bit of casual labouring here and there, but the idea of getting up early was an effort, and doing the same thing over and over was just so tedious. And so he found other ways of getting by. Sometimes those ways were on the right side of the law. And other times, well, maybe it was a little bit more questionable. And his family motto was take what you can from whoever you can, and that's how he caught leprosy. He'd been brought up to only look after himself. Number one. He'd never been thanked for anything in his life. And he felt that saying thank you to someone would somehow put him in their debt. He'd never seen his family ever say thank you to anyone, so why start now? He looked at his certificate of health. Come to think of it, it was the only certificate he'd ever been given. And he went off whistling. How about that, he thought. What a lucky break. Of all the leper colonies he might have found himself in, he was in the one where everyone got healed. Go, Justin. And off he went. And maybe we relate to Justin, because actually we've never been taught how to say thank you. It was never modelled in the home that we grew up in, and we've never experienced what it feels like to feel grateful. And maybe we don't even want to learn that, because we worry that it might actually make us look weak. So I'm going to use a little bit more imagination. I know what our Bible reading said, but we're going to come to Joan, because I am going to presume that they weren't all men in that leper colony. Joan's family were extremely rich. They were loaded, rolling in it. Joan had servants and slaves to do absolutely everything for her. Their job was to make sure that all of her wants and her needs were supplied. And she had resented every single sick moment and all of the disgusting things she'd had to do for herself. Her mantra was, I am entitled. I'm entitled to good health. And so when her healing came, the only thing that she humphed was about time too. She took her certificate of health as if it was nothing more than she deserved and then looked around for her transport to take her home. And we live in a really rights-oriented society, don't we? And I think the society we live in lends itself to us forgetting how to be grateful. Have we ever felt so entitled to getting something that we have failed to say thank you when it's been given? Another female leper was May. She had been stunningly beautiful before she got sick. Leprosy caused her eyebrows to fall out, and her skin was a mess, and she had stumpy feet and claws for fingers. And she despised herself every single day. She couldn't stand the disfiguration that this disease had inflicted on her. And on the day of healing, she stretched out her hands and she wriggled her toes, and she touched her face and she felt her hair, and she dashed into the nearest town, wondering how she could have a manicure and a pedicure, and she could have a face treatment and her hair cut and coloured and restyled and a whole new wardrobe of clothes. Beautiful May was about to be reborn. Blonde, brunette, life was finally worth living again. And let's be honest, let's be real. Don't we all sometimes get a bit self-obsessed, a bit self-absorbed, or just are a bit too selfish to consider life from another person's perspective? Maybe we get so wrapped up in ourselves, we don't think about saying thank you. Now, leper number six, his name was Douglas, and Douglas was angry. He'd been angry before he got ill. He was angry when he got ill. And now that he was healed, well, he was even angry at that. Where was God in all of this? Who did the religious priests think they were, banishing people to live like animals the way they did? He'd been angry with the other nine in the leper colony because they were ill, angry with the way that his body didn't work because it didn't work the way it should. Angry, angry, angry. Douglas was always angry. Why had his healing taken so long? He grabbed his certificate of health and he stormed out, muttering about the business that he'd used to own and bet they'd ruined it, and then hope my wife's waited for me and I bet she's made my kids soft. And he stormed off, pushing through the people that were coming into the temple for worship, snarling at them, "Get out of my way." Anger can be a real barrier to being grateful. It really stops us being able to say thank you. Is anything ever going to be good enough? Is the thought process that goes on in angry people's minds. And if they do say thank you, it's often followed with a "but." Have we ever got angry and it stopped us expressing our thank you? Now, Jason, he had a very different temperament. He was an intellectual man who made it his business to learn all that he could about the disease when he got ill. He anticipated every stage of the illness and he charted the progress against expectation. He mapped the symptoms against time for everyone in the colony, not just himself. And he noticed the variances and he offered hypotheses as to why this might be. And he'd have quite liked to have gone along to other leper colonies to have studied what life was doing to them or what the disease was doing to them, because he wanted to test his thoughts and his theories. He was rational and unemotional, but fascinated by his healing. So much so that he resolved then and there to find other survivors if he could, and to hear their story and to write a groundbreaking thesis about it. And he was so absorbed with learning, it didn't occur to him to go and interview the one who had given him his healing and perhaps while he was there say thank you for it. And I wonder whether some of us go into analytical mode. And we go so into analytical or problem-solving mode, we fail to stop and be grateful. And this stops us expressing our thanks. Now, our final female leper is Susan, and she was so thankful she was going home. She thanked the priest for her certificate, which declared her clean, and she intended to go back to say thank you to Jesus as well. But then suddenly all her friends and family showed up. They'd got word that some lepers had got healed, and unusually they had heard that there were some women in that colony, and they thought maybe it's our Susan. And when they realized that it was, they scooped Susan and they took her off for the biggest and the best party of her life. They were so jubilant, all of them. Surely saying thank you to the priest was enough, was the way that Susan rationalized this as she sat down later in the evening, tired from so much dancing. Surely, she said, that man Jesus will know that I appreciate everything he did. Surely I don't need to go back and say it directly to him. He'll just know. And then she lost that thought as somebody dragged her back up onto the dance floor for a little bit more partying. And I wonder how many of us assume that people know that they're appreciated. And because we assume that they know that we appreciate them, we don't actually say thanks. Our final leper is Jack, who was also really grateful. He could not believe what has happened. He ran around showing people his certificate of health. Look, look, look what's happened. Look what I've got here. He couldn't stop telling people how amazing it was. He kept saying thank you to the priest who declared him clean until it got, well, quite frankly, embarrassing. He kept thanking those that were willing to listen to his story until that got a bit embarrassing too. He kept thanking even those that heard his story and said, "That's nice, Jack." Eventually, people started to say things like, "Jack, you've told me this already. Jack, calm down. Jack, why don't you move on? What are you going to do now with the rest of your life?" Jack realized that he should have gone back to say thank you. But he'd spent so long talking about how grateful he was, he'd left it too late. Who knows where Jesus was? It's such a long time after. And it might be a bit embarrassing. Maybe Jesus wouldn't remember who he was after such a while. Jack always remained enthusiastic about his healing, but he never got round to saying thank you to the giver of the gift. And I wonder whether we sometimes get caught up by the story that we actually forget to say thanks. And when we think about it, it just feels far too late. So in our story, we've looked at nine lepers, nine of their stories, and nine barriers to expressing gratitude and saying thanks. And I wonder, did you recognize yourself in any of them? Why is it we fail to say thank you to the one that gives us good things? Maybe it's because sometimes it's easier for us to grumble if our expectations are unmet, when things don't go the way we hoped or we think they should, when we have to wait, when it's inconvenient, and sometimes when it's just plain wrong. And occasionally, instead of letting our grumbles go, we hold on to them, and resentment builds up. And as resentment builds up, it starts to take over our thoughts and our attitudes and our emotions and our mental or our spiritual well-being. And eventually, it can start to dominate the relationships that we have with others and the whole of our lives. Jesus has told us a story about nine people who were too distracted or too angry or too selfish or too uncertain or too entitled to go back and say thank you. And I wonder whether sometimes we allow these things to get in the way of us expressing our thanks. God invites us to know him. He invites us to know Jesus, the giver of good gifts, to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. And when God is at work within us, we expect to see thankfulness and gratitude as part of that work. As we allow God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to touch our lives, gratitude should bubble up because of all that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have done for us. God's presence in us should be sufficient to overcome those barriers, to appreciate what God has done and to appreciate those around us. And you know, it's really good for us to express gratitude. It's associated with all manner of mental and physical benefits as well as our spiritual relationship with God. Studies have shown that feeling thankful can improve sleep, mood, and immunity. Gratitude can decrease depression, anxiety, difficulties, and chronic pain and risk of disease. Gratitude is good for us. And that's not surprising, is it? Because God says, say thank you. Be a grateful people. And you know, the benefit of being grateful builds up relationship as we give and we receive to and from one another. You see, anything less than being grateful, taking others for granted or for even grumbling and complaining, ultimately that dissatisfaction with our life can be translated into, God, what you are doing isn't good enough. It can be interpreted as, I just don't trust him. And if we struggle to be grateful, the great thing is it's a conversation that we can start to have with God. We may feel that the world is against us, but the Bible tells us that God is bigger than that. And social media might suggest that our lives are inadequate, but God says you are enough. And maybe we've wondered what anyone has ever done for us that we should be grateful. The truth is that Jesus stretched out his hands on the cross and said, you were worth, are worth dying for. So we're called, invited to be a people who are thankful, grateful, and appreciative, sensitive to the needs of those around us rather than just concentrating on our own. And so we're invited to let gratitude flow out from us because of what Jesus has done for us. So I wonder, who do you need to appreciate this week? At home? At work? In your neighbourhoods and communities that we live in our interactions with others, here at TBC, and also, of course, our NHS. Who do you need to appreciate this week? We're going to stand and sing in a moment, but I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. God, I guess all of us here recognise we have something to learn about being grateful, something to learn about the spontaneity as well as the well-thought-out thank you that we might want to express. And Lord, we recognise as we've listened to some of those leper stories, albeit that they're fictitious and part of our imagination, Father, we might well have recognised people who have been like those lepers and impacted us negatively in our lives. Lord, we stand before you and we know we have a choice. We can continue to be hurt by the damage that's been done to us and to allow that to prevent us from being grateful people, or we can forgive, we can let those things go and turn towards you and those that we share our lives with and say, today it's going to be different. Lord, help us to choose the way of gratitude and not grumbling, the way of saying thank you, not taking people for granted, the way of appreciating people and not ignoring them or seeing them as any less than us. God, help us to be people that reflect your Son and all that he has done for us. Amen.